day yesterday. I was so proud of everyone that came out and served and all the things that we were able to accomplish. And I tell you this, when I went to bed last night, I was just full of joy. Just so thankful that we had that opportunity to serve, because it was so fulfilling. And so we hope that as we have more of these serve days, that you and your family will come out there. And hey, how about a shout out to the kids that were out there yesterday? They wanted to work too, and so we try to set these things up to where it works for families, and so we had kids out there that were just crushing it. And so thank you to everyone who came out and helped with Serve Day. And also, I got to give a big shout out to Cynthia and our family, all of us. We were out last Sunday, and so you guys had a great service. We were able to watch it live, and so y'all did a great job. And I want to give a shout out to that panel with Jay Cherry, with Aaron Smelter, and Shane Mass. Come on, so thank you all for holding the fort down while we were out of town last week. We had a really good vacation, came back, and we're just rested and ready to go. And today I do want to give a shout out to some friends that are here with us. This couple was here with us when we started this church back at Childs High School back in 2012. In fact, they helped us start the church, and then we did the first wedding ever at Emerge Church. February the 26th, like we started February 5th, and then February 26th, and Travis and Jenny Hadman are right here with us today. Welcome, fam. Everybody can recognize you. Hey, they helped start our church, y'all. And you know what's so cool? They're helping start another one. And so Travis is helping out with a setup team, and so he's been there, done that. He is the master of pipe and drape and all things related. And so anyway, so good to have them here with us today. So I got a message I want to speak to you today that is just really, really burning in my heart, and just some time I've spent with God, some things he's put on my heart that I want to share with you today. And I want us to go to the book of James chapter 1, and we're going to read a couple of verses. We'll set this up, and then I got some things I want to show you today as well as speak to you. So James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way." Come on, am I talking to the right people in here today? Anybody ever had some troubles that came your way? So he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Just throw an elbow on your neighbor right now. Just throw an elbow on him, because you know this verse is just really tough. "Consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do." Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Just a fantastic service we're having so far today. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is here. Lord, thank you for what we were able to accomplish yesterday for our community. And I really pray that we represented you, that people saw Jesus in our church as we serve. And Father, I pray it will have an impact. But Father, I'm praying for this moment right here, that your word, as we speak it, Father, as I speak this message, I pray it will impact lives in this room forever. I pray, God, it will help us to grow and be the men and women of God that you want us to be, Father. Help us, God, today to get beyond our fears and our failures, and help us to be, God. Help us to live out, God, the dream that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Several years ago, my pastor was doing some teaching, and it was more for a staff teaching, but when he was teaching, he said it really applies to all of us, and he started talking about how we can grow, really grow into the things of God, grow into the purpose that God has for us. And he began to use this illustration using some bricks. And so I thought it was really cool, and I thought I would share it with you today, because in our minds, when we think of doing something for God, being who God wants us to be, living out the plans of God for our life, it's almost like, just tell me what to do and I will go do it. But if you have ever served God for over about 2 days, you have found that God doesn't just tell you exactly every little thing that you need to do. It's almost like a discovery. It's kind of like you figure it out as you're going. And so in our mind, we just kind of think that I just got to put all the pieces together and it all just kind of stacks up. Let me get this, let me get that. And we think if we keep building it up, we're going to reach it. That's kind of how we think it works in our lives. But as we live in our life, we find out that's not how it works. Anybody ever lived? It's just not that easy. And if it was, there would be a lot more people who are really, really living free, really, really living out the dreams and the plans of God. Because God isn't just wanting you to go and do something. He wants you to be something. Amen? He wants you to become someone because God really, really cares about you. See, sometimes we forget that God is a father. And he's a good father. He's not just a father that says, go do this, go do that. But he is a father that wants you to become everything that he has planned for you to be. And so as we're growing, this is more what it looks like. And we can learn this from the brick masons. Whenever they're building and they're laying brick, they don't stack them straight up like this. What they do is they start laying a course. And it's one course at a time. Anyone ever been to school before? Come on, you've been to school before. You know what I'm talking about? It's courses. You don't just graduate the first day you start school. It's courses, and so you got to take that course, and you're taking this course. And then after you reach a certain point on this level, you have to go up again to another level. Now, this is where it's challenging because a lot of people, whenever they reach a 10 status in something, they feel like they have arrived. Let me remind for you. Back in the day in my neighborhood, I was the basketball player. I dominated everyone in the neighborhood. So when I went to high school, I had the bright idea that I was going to try out for the basketball team. Now, I was a 10. I was the 10 down my street. I mean, I was dunking on people. 8.5 foot, by the way. Still dunking. I was the man in my neighborhood. I was a 10, but whenever I went to these basketball tryouts, I found out that a 10 in my neighborhood was like a 1 in the high school gym. And that's a hard thing to handle. And by the way, I did not make the basketball team. Coach kind of pulled me aside because he didn't want to embarrass me and cut me. He said, hey, Moriam, why don't you just go ahead and slip on out of here so your name doesn't have to make it on that piece of paper and everybody see that you didn't make the team. Why don't you just go ahead and slip out of here? So I slipped out of there and I went into the band. But between a 10 over here and a 1 over here is where most people don't want to go, because this 10 status right here gives us a lot of, it gives us a lot of credit. It gives us a lot of feel-good stuff. It gives us a lot of reward. It gives us a lot of success. It gives us a lot of material to post on Facebook. It gives us a lot of social media content. Whereas the 1 over here doesn't give you much. But if we're going to grow, we have to realize that even though you're a 10 at the level you're at, God is going to challenge you to the next level. And that's usually the step that most people are struggling with in their life, because they know that it's another level of commitment. You notice how quiet it gets when you say certain words in church? Like, you can say some other words and it's just funny. But then there are other words when you say it, as soon as you say it, it's like, nobody says anything. Because we understand that there is a cost with it. So watch this. We move to the next level. We've taken these steps. We're taking these courses. And don't you know that every course usually has a test in it? Every course, there could be a little bit of trouble, because I don't know if every one of your teachers were absolutely perfect in school, but I remember some of those guys in college. I didn't think they even cared that I existed. Come on. There were others that were fantastic. I thought they loved me. I thought we wasn't here for school. I thought we were just hanging out. But there were things like exams that we had to take, and they were hard. We had to cram. We stressed out over them. Anyone ever stressed out before over something? Corey, you ever got to a point in your career where you had to go take an exam? They want you to go take a course, and then you had to go take the exam after the course. And this was different than school, because now this is like your paycheck on the line. This is like, are we going to have cable vision or not? Are my kids going to have Wi-Fi or not? Like, that's a big deal, because if you don't have Wi-Fi, it's going to be nuts at your house. And so every one of these bricks, they represent a course, and it represents a test, and it represents a struggle, and it represents a success. so we're moving along, and what is God doing the whole time? He is growing us. But it doesn't just look like we're just stacking it all up. Okay, got this, got that, let's go do it. No, because God's trying to build you so that whenever you are really walking in your purpose, you will last. See, a lot of people don't last because they're not being built. What did Jesus say? And I will build my church. See, we only see Jesus as a Savior, so it's always Jesus, come save me, Jesus, come save me, Jesus, come save me. But he is also the builder of the church, and what he wants to do is build you so that you can sustain some things. Have you ever walked through something and prayed for strength before? And the way that God gives strength isn't the way that I would do it. Like, if I was given strength, I would, like, just kind of pass it. You know, like that Avengers movie and stuff. They got all these little forces and people throw it at you and it hits you and stuff. Like, that's how I would do it. It'd be so much easier. Like, I can look at your faces while I'm preaching. I can tell you're struggling. I just take a little bit of it, throw it at you, and it hits you, and be like, let's go. That would be awesome. Am I right? That would be awesome. But what if it only lasted a week? We'd be a bunch of one-hit wonders. Come on, a bunch of one-hit wonders. How many of y'all remember the band Hanson? Doo-wop, doo-wop, doo-wop. What else do they play? We don't even know. And one song. One song. And a lot of times in our walk with God, we're one-hit wonders. One-hit wonders. Get fired up and it lasts about 3 weeks. Everything's good. I'm out of here. What does God want? He wants us to last. And so he's laying a course out in your life. And that's why we say things like, I feel like I'm just going through so much. When we went on vacation, no one told me the back roads we were going to have to go through. Seriously, the traffic. It was insane traffic. Like, on the way home, we were on the back roads more than the interstate highway. Are you kidding me? It took longer. It was harder, less phone reception, like all that stuff. All that matters. This is the things we're walking through in life, and what is God doing? He's taking one thing at a time, building it, so that when the storms come, it's built to last. Come on, you getting this? Built to last. So today what I'm going to talk to you about, I'm going to talk about growing in your purpose. Who wants to grow? Come on, who wants to grow in their life? And grow spiritually, growing in their maturity, becoming a better man, becoming a better woman. We want to grow. And so right now it's like summertime of the year. And so a lot of times our focus in summertime is not on growing. Am I right? It's on going. That's what our focus is. And so sometimes whenever you begin to talk like this, it's kind of like, I gotta readjust my thinking. Like, I'm not thinking like that right now. That's the way you're saying all this and it's good, but that's not. But I'm going through stuff. We are broke. That vacation cost a lot more than I thought it would. And now we're fighting because we're broke. Hello. How y'all? Last couple weeks for us have just been stressful. Sold our house really fast. People thought we were moving, like, going back to Louisiana. No, we're not going back. We had a deal that we had made to buy a new house. And out of nowhere, it fell through. And we had sold our house. So we're like homeless. And so trying to figure out where you're gonna live, and got a house full of stuff. You know, like, when you're moving, you realize you got stuff you don't need. But someone always makes the call that you can't throw it away. And then I'm talking about her. Kids getting that stuff too. No, I got another one. It's like 3 years old. No, you didn't. You got it last year. Like, that's the kind of stuff. And it has so much, like, you know, it's stressful. And we had some guys that came and helped us move. And I know whenever they got in the truck and drove off, they're like, man, these people got a lot of junk. We didn't know where we were gonna live. We were trying to buy a house. I mean, it's just all this stressful stuff, just like messing with your head. And you're trying to deal with it and keep a good attitude. You know what I'm saying? Like, trying to keep it. And if you ever moved before, keeping a good attitude is like, like, I need an Acts 2 moment with the Holy Spirit to make it through. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to make it through this. I'm going to keep a good attitude. I'm going to be happy about it. I'm going to be appreciative of my kids, even though, you know, all that stuff. And we're going to make it through all of this. But man, it was tough. And it was stretching me. And I look back over my life, and there were a lot of times where I was just being stretched. And it was always whenever I felt like it was a move stepping forward. It's almost like every time, no matter what it is, by the way, if it's something spiritually I'm trying to step forward, it feels like there's stress that comes with it. If it's something in your career and you're trying to step forward, you ever tried that before? You tried to take a step forward in your career, and then things just started happening that didn't happen before. Like you said, you know what, I'm really going to start working on my career and moving forward. And then people in the company started treating you differently than before. Like, oh, you used to go to lunch with us, and now you don't want to have lunch with us. I'm just trying to move forward. But it seems like when you try to take these steps forward, when you try to grow, there always seems to be a little bit more added stress that comes with it. And it's frustrating because I'm just trying to go follow the course that God has for me, but there's some resistance that comes along the way. Some frustrations, there's some, and some people would call it attacks. There's a number of different ways to explain it, but it always seems like when you're trying to move forward, there are things that are coming against you, and we just start getting mad at people. Anybody that looks like they remotely resent, just like, if you even sound like it or feel like something coming against me, you are the problem. Move out of my way. I will excommunicate you out of my, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes those people are in their own house. Love the dog at one point. That kicking the dog. I love dog, but I'm kicking the dog. Get out of my way. Got to have a meeting with the dog. I'm sorry. That's a bad day. And then you read a verse where James says, when you're facing some trials, some trouble, some stress, consider it an opportunity for joy. That doesn't make sense. Because I know what it's an opportunity for. It's an opportunity for me to lose my mind up in here on some kids, on somebody. That's what I see. That's what I feel like it's an opportunity. And James is like one of the more skillful writers in the Bible because he's inspiring, yet he's very, very practical. Like he keeps it in between the lines whenever he's writing. And he just says, look, you got to consider it an opportunity for joy. I wish he would have said an opportunity for growth. Because then I can accept it. But he said it's an opportunity for joy. Like something inside of you that just makes you feel very, very good. Like this is right. And what do we feel like when stress is on us? This ain't right. This is just. Something's got to go. Somebody's got to go. Let's get to it. Got to get rid of something, got to get rid of somebody. Listen, when you're moving, by the way, that's one of the examples I got right now, because when we were moving, there was stuff that at one time was sentimental, and it didn't fit right in the truck. And it's lost this sentimental value very, very quickly. You try to close the door on it, that don't fit. I never really liked it anyway, and you just chunk it. And then 2 days later, you're like, man, I wish I still had that. Go back to the dumpster, your dumpster diving. Don't do that. So when you read verses like this, that he says, consider it an opportunity for joy, those are the verses that stretch you. Those are the things where you're like, okay, I got to think about this a little bit because this don't fit how I roll. Like, that's not one of my favorite verses. I like the one, like in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I don't like the one that says, when you're going through stress, consider it an opportunity. Because that just conflicts me, just messes with my head. So you got an option of what you do with a verse like that. It's like, I ain't reading that one again. And this is real. There are people that avoid stuff in the Bible. They really do. They avoid stuff in the Bible because they think if they don't read it, God never said it. He said it. It's in there, okay? Then they have the option of, I know he said it, but I don't believe it. This is the options that we give ourselves. I know he said it, but that's like for other people. That's like for everybody else, not for me. Listen, it's for you too. Look at your neighbor and say, you know it's for you. Do a little marriage counseling right there. Then you have the opportunity to reinterpret it and make it fit your situation. where you can spin, and sometimes we're good at that, man. We can spin the Bible and make it say things that we want. Listen, when I was a youth pastor, I used to have these dudes in the youth group that come to me with like a verse from Song of Songs, okay, or Song of Solomon, which is like really romantic and has some graphic language in it and stuff. And these little dudes would like sit there and justify how they like the girl using a verse out of there. I'm like, bro, you are so far out of context, you don't even know it. But he's like, it's in the Bible. I told my mom, I got a verse for this girl. I'm like, that is not a verse for this girl. But we take the Bible and we spin it and use it to interpret our situation so that it is not as stressful. Because we believe that God doesn't want us to experience any stress. Have you ever stressed your kids out? Have your parents ever stressed you out? I know, right there, everybody's like, oh, I'll pull a verse out on you in Ephesians. Fathers, don't exasperate your children's name. Don't mean that we ain't going to say no. Come on, somebody. So you see, you're sitting in this situation right now, and you're like, come on, just get to the point here. Really, the option we have to take is to receive a verse like this and then learn from it. To receive God's word and learn from it. See, the Word of God, there's a wealth of wisdom in it, and sometimes your perspective doesn't help you to see the vast expanse of the wealth that is in the wisdom, because all you know is the stress that is in your life. But what if God would use the stress of your life to grow you? Some of you would not agree with that, but then I would bring you to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested. He was stressing out. He was sweating, and it was so intense that the sweat that was pouring from the pores of his forehead began to change to blood. I sweat a lot. I stress, but I have never, ever sweat blood in my life. And if you do, you better get to the hospital, am I right? And this guy is just stressed because he knows what's about to happen. And he prays prayers like this: God, if you sure will, take this from me. I mean, let's find a different way for us to pay for the sins of the world. Let's try something different. But if it's your will, let it be done. If it's your will that I walk through this, let it be done. And it was a stressful situation for Jesus to go to the cross. But what if later on it says the cross was the joy set before him? It was stressful, but yet it was still the joy set before him. And I think it was the joy set before him because he saw you. Amen. And he wanted to save you, so he was willing to endure some things so that he could save you. That was a good clap moment right there. Don't clap now. Don't clap now. You missed it. That was such a good clap moment. You missed it. So when I was on vacation, I was reading my Bible, and I read a verse that really sparked this message. And I want to read it to you because, man, it's strong. And David, Old Testament David, became king of Israel. He wrote this, and I think it's pretty powerful. He said this. He says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness." Watch this. "Thou hast enlarged me in my distress." Can we put that verse up? "Thou has enlarged me when I was in distress. You grew me in my stress." See, it's quiet right now, but you're like, how? How? How does that work? And then he says, "Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer," because he knows I need help. But he recognizes that God grows us through stressful moments. And the verse really started messing with my perspective. Because what if God's using your stress to grow you into the purpose and plan that he has for you? But that is not the route that we would take, all right? That's not the route we like to go. But what if that is the way? And God is just using the stressful things in your life to help you take steps that you never before would have ever considered taking. There are people in here that know things, you've learned things that you never would have learned had it not been for the stress
that is on your life. Let me say it like this. Some of you, you're such incredible parents because of the stress your kids put you through. Come on, you've got to get some happiness in this place today. Some of you are so good at being husband and wife, and you got good because you had some stress in your marriage. And had you not had stress in your marriage, you just would still be coasting, waiting for D-Day when everything would just blow up. But because you had some stress early on, you put some work into it, baby, and you started working on this thing, and you became a better husband, she became a better wife, and we can make it through something now. Come on. Glad I went on vacation. I'm feeling good about this sermon today. So watch this though. Our tendency when stress hits our lives is to start cutting things out. Stress comes, gotta cut this out, gotta cut that out, gotta cut this out, gotta cut this out, because I don't know how much more I can handle. And this just keeps going, I'm going to go crazy. And so we think if I just start cutting things out, and I don't mean to pick on people, but usually the first thing that we start cutting are the things of God. Oh, we still pray. But anything other than praying, we start cutting because I need, watch this, I need stress relief. And there is a wealth being made off of stress relief in our world. Because everybody's trying to get rid of their stress. And how many of you ever tried to get rid of your stress and found out it came with you? You went on vacation and paid all that money and the stress was there? Went on vacation, get away from the stress of work and ran into the stress of some things going on in your family. You ever get a phone call? Like when you were trying to get away? I don't want to answer that. I probably should answer that. We hadn't talked to them in a long time. Probably should answer that. I don't want to answer that. Let it go to voicemail. And you can hear the tone of their voice in the voicemail. Oh, I better call. And then you call them. And you realize, our vacation has just changed. Our getaway, our stress relief has just changed. Because you can't really get away from it. It's still there. Can't get away. Stress didn't necessarily come from God. Stress didn't necessarily come from the spouse. Didn't necessarily come from the preacher who's preaching the message today. It come from all the crazy stuff on your schedule. Maybe the stress is coming as a revelation that you weren't all that you thought that you were. Look at your neighbor right now and tell them you better run for your life. So watch this. I want to show you something today. Because if you think you can cut out all the stress in your life, you're cutting out some things that you really need. Okay? And I know, if you're sitting here today and you're super stressed, like, you got a heart condition, I mean, go to your doctor and, like, balance this out, okay? Don't, like, well, Pastor, is there going to get more stress in my life if I'm going to grow? I want to show you something. Josh, go ahead and unmute this thing. This guitar right here. The only way it works is stress. Tension on the strings is what makes it work. I gotta have tension, or else I can't play it. Same thing with drums. Gotta have tension on the strings. As long as there's the right amount of tension on it, I can play it. But what if I didn't like the tension so much that I got something to cut it? Now, I'm not gonna cut it because I gotta use this after a while. And then when the strings pop, they fly. But what if the very things that we need in our life, because of stress, we start? You know when you cut one string on this guitar, it throws the others out of tune? I need you to grab some things that I'm saying today, because there's some revelation that some of you are getting right now that you need it, because you've been cutting out things in your life that you needed to keep. Come on, you've been cutting out things that you needed to keep. And you just think adding on more and more accessories to your life was going to make the change. And it's not making more change, it's just weighing it down. Come on. So if I keep cutting this, guess what? This guitar could no longer fulfill its purpose. If I cut every string and then try to play it, it does nothing. and we cut all the tension out of our lives, we can't fulfill the purpose that God has for us. Even though it looks like a guitar, even though it's on stage, where it was meant to be played, without the tension, it doesn't fulfill its purpose. And can I just say this, that some of you are way better at managing stress than what you give your credit for. But somebody scared you with some stress that they had and made you believe that you can't make it through some of the things that they have struggled with. Come on, we sat around, we complained about it so long that we believe we can't do what they can't do. Come on. Because we're afraid of stress. I hear kids that are little, like 9 years old. Oh no, I'm just so stressed out. What are you stressed out about? Seriously. What are you stressed out about? You have somebody in your life buying everything for you. Just stress. Anxiety is high. Also, on this guitar, one of the things you learned is with the tension on it, I shouldn't do this. Because if I don't, you might miss the whole thing. Let me turn it up. There's this thing up here called tuner. And sometimes the tension gets a little greater in one area of our life. See what happens? Doesn't mean the whole thing is messed up. That just means I need to retune. I've got to have something that I can go to. I've got to have somewhere that I can go and... gave us a gauge. You know what he gave us? He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us his word. Come on, somebody. He gave us the church. He gave us a new group. Come on, he gave us a group of people that was going to help us stay on track so that we can retune. So when that friend says, hey, I haven't seen you in e-group in a while, where you been? Oh, I've just got so much going on. We had to cut back somewhere. Let me help you. Philippians chapter 4. Let's pick up the pace of Philippians 4. Verse 69. Watch this. Here's another verse. Don't worry about anything. Dude, what you got going on in your life? You write this kind of stuff. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Then he says, tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. Then, say then. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Watch what he says. Fix your thoughts. A little tuning. Fix your thoughts, because your mind is telling you, you can't do this. You can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. But if you fix your thoughts and you get this thing in tune, you start playing, you start strumming, you realize, we can do this. I gotta make sure that we're staying in tune. Listen, with your marriage, if it starts getting out of tune, it ain't gonna work right. Tension here, tension there, it's gonna cause it to get out of tune. But if we go back to the foundation of it, if we got something to adjust it, if we have the word of God, if we have a conviction, we can adjust the tension on it. If we're praying, listen, by the way, that's what prayer does. It helps adjust the tension on your life. Worship helps adjust the tension. Everybody, like when you worship it, everybody's like, man, I feel good. I'm not even sinning right now. Jesus is here. I'm going to teach you something today. This ain't the only place you can worship God. Some of y'all got some road rage. I saw it. You might want to change your radio station. Put on some Jesus music. You might let some people in instead of cutting them off. What are we doing though? We're tuning. We're adjusting the tension. When we're praying, we're adjusting the tension. That's why Jesus said, pray for your enemies. You know why he's saying pray for your enemies? Because it adjusts the tension. It ain't just them putting the tension. We put some tension too. Let's keep reading. Now, dear brothers. Verse 8. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right, pure and lovely and admirable. He's even telling you how to think. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Watch this. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me do.
God of peace will be with you. He didn't say, then all the stress will leave you. He's saying, then the God of peace will be with you. Even in the middle of these tough situations, I will be with you. I will be with you. It's this constant reminder through the Bible where God's just trying to say, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to stick with you. Jesus is ascending into heaven. He said, look, I ain't forgetting you. I ain't rolling on you. I got somebody over here. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you every single day. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. But yet we feel like we're all alone. We got to retune. You ever told somebody before they need to adjust their attitude? You know what we're telling them? They need to retune. That's all we're telling them. Just sometimes we say it with an attitude. We tell someone with an attitude something with an attitude, thinking that they're going to reciprocate that. And they do. They don't tune. They tighten up. So I'm going to give you three actions to grow in your purpose. Real quick, three actions, because I think they're going to help. Okay? The first one is this. I have prayers I need to pray. I have prayers I need to pray. Some of you, it's been a little while since you talked to the Lord. It's been a little while since you brought it all to Him. I have prayers that I need to pray. Let me say it like this. You don't have to do this alone. You can go to Him. So I can pray. Watch this. Psalm 94, 19. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. When anxiety and distress was building up, I went to you and you consoled me. Help me see that I can do this. Help me see that I can make it through this. Come on, anybody needed this message today? You've been going through some things, but you're just hearing some things that you already knew. You just needed the right perspective on it. So let me say it like this. When you're stressed, you got to know who to go to. You have to know who to go to. Let's not find people that make us feel better about our stress. Let's find people that help us get through it. Even if it means it grows us. Come on, somebody. Because there are people that will protect you from growing. And that's not a friend. And that's a message for a whole nother day, because we got a lot of people that like to sit around with us and tell us we don't have to because they don't want to, because they want you to be with them. That's a message for another day. I don't want to preach it. You have to remember that you have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, within you. The Holy Spirit is within us. And so I will call upon the Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to pray to understand whatever I have to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to call upon the Lord because He is always with me. And if He is with me, it doesn't matter if I walk through the fire or the flood. I ain't going to fail because He's with me. You grabbing this today. Do you really believe that?
Yes.
Like, that's the stuff in the Bible you've got to lock onto and build your life about it. So let me ask you this question. Have you prayed about it as much as you have talked about it? Let's go to number two, okay? I know, guy, I felt the reception on that. So let's go to number two. So I got a prayer. I have prayers I need to pray, but I have a mindset that I need to shake. And this is the tough one. I have a mindset that I've got to shake. So watch this. We will either see the stress as an opposition to us or an opportunity for us. An opposition to stop me right here. And if I give in to the stress, this is where I stay. I have to overcome. I just stay right here. Or I can see the stress as we can grow through this. If your marriage is in trouble, don't just say we're going through something. Say it like this. We're growing through something. Come on, somebody. That's good. We're growing through something. There you go. Now we're talking at the right moment. Growing through it. It's stressful, but we're going to stay together because that's what we believe. And we're just going to live that relationship with that. We ain't talking right now. That kid is driving me up a wall, and the best thing for me to do is stay over here, and they need good grandmas. Grandma asked the kid, you talk to your mama yet this week? No. Need a call. I will tomorrow. Come on. Go through some things. Let's not just go through it. I mean, if we got to go through it, let's get something out of it. Can somebody agree with that? If we got to go through and put this much energy and this much effort, I better get something out of it. Am I right?
So we have to grow through it. So that's the mindset I got to take. This is either going to be my opposition or my opportunity. Whenever something happens in the family, maybe the kid does something that is wrong, and you're sitting there and you're stressed about what are we going to do, what are we going to do? You're either going to see this as something that's going to bring you down, or you're going to see this as, this is an opportunity for me to become a better dad. I'm going to become a better mom. I'm going to become a better husband. I'm going to become a better wife. And what does it do? It positions me to learn, because I found out that I'm not all that yet. But if I work at it, I can become it. If I tune this thing, I can play it. Got to work at it. It's going to take some work. And that's the mindset. Okay? You know that saying, no pain, no gain? Why? Because it's making me stronger. God wants to build you so that you're strong, so that it's going to last. It's great if the honeymoon is good, but what about the life? Come on, the kids are great in the hospital. Got all the help, you know, whenever you have the baby. Nurses are there to take care of every little thing. Oh, you want to send them to the nursery so you can sleep? And you go home. Never screamed at you in the hospital. Go home. It's verbal abuse from the child. What did I do to you? I love you. Quit screaming at me. How many ladies in here, you became a good mom because of that kid? Come on, you can raise your hand. Yeah, come on, you're not like, I don't know, I'm stressed about this right now. You don't know if you can be good until you go through something. I used to hear people say, we never fight. You don't know if you're good if you can make it until you make it through a fight. I'm not advertising fighting. I'm just saying if you fight and you make it through it, you're good. That's a word for somebody who fought last night. Didn't know I could make it through that class. Because it was so hard, and now I'm about to graduate. I never thought I could get a job like this, but I stayed at it and worked my way up through the company. I never thought I would get here. Am I distressed? You enlarge me. You know, some of that difficulty is just dealing with people. In fact, most of it is dealing with people. And can I just tell you, there are people that God will put in your life that will stress you out. Those children are a blessing from the Lord, but they will wear you thin. I did it to my parents. That's how I know. You did it too. Don't act like you was a bone job. We know. There are single people who will pray all day for a spouse. Get in a relationship and they start fighting. I thought God blessed me. He did. He's also going to grow you. He's going to use that person to grow you. Come on. God's not going to leave you in your comfort zone. I'm trying to help you grasp the fullness of this, because sometimes we just think that God is going to pave this thing as easy street and nothing bad is ever going to happen. I'm just going to be happy. And that's the way we think God wants us to be happy. But listen, happy all the time doesn't just happen. Come on. Because people have these things called free wills, like choice, and they can choose to do things that would just drive you nuts. And so to work through the differences in people and to work through the stress and all that, we have to realize that it's making you somebody you never thought you could be. And sometimes the person that we're becoming isn't the person we were supposed to be, because we took it the wrong way. We saw it as opposition and we ran from it, and we found another person, we found another circle, we found another thing that was going to take this stress away, and we became somebody we never should have been. Come on. And God will put people in stress. I will stress you out as your pastor. You can book on it, baby, because I want to see you grow and become everything God wants you to be. And you will stress me out too. That's why I went on vacation, because you people stress me out. But you know what it's telling me? I have to grow. And if I grow and you grow, we increase our influence. Come on, somebody help me out here today. So here's the last one. Yeah, I got curves I need to thread. I got a mindset I need to shake, but I have steps I need to take, because I can't just think about it. I have to do something about it. I have a step that I need to to take. If I'm going to fulfill God's purpose for my life, I can't just sit here and pray about it. God, tell me what to do. Just tell me everything to do. God's just sitting there saying, I am not telling you nothing until I see that you're willing to take a step. I have a step that I need to take. That's why Paul said in that verse in Philippians, he said, keep putting into practice all the things that you have learned. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it says something like this: there is nothing new under the sun. Always looking for something new that's going to make it better. Instead of looking for something new, why don't we look for what's right now? We want the next thing, but what if the next thing distracts you from the right now thing? The right now thing that God wants to do in your life. And usually the right now thing is the step that we didn't want to take. And that's where God wants us to be, taking the step that we need to take. We have to keep doing what we know we should be doing. Then the peace comes. When we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, this is where people are like, Pastor Ray, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be doing? I found this out. God gives us nudges. Start advertising, serve day 18. Serve. There were some people that said, the church needs to be doing more in the community. Church needs to be doing more in the community. Need to be in the community more. Reaching the community. Now serve that. Then serve the community. Look at this. I'm just trying to bring something out here. Just don't take steps that we need to take. So when we're flipping through the pictures on the video, you've seen all these people. Verses and you create a whole new path. Reinterpret it. That's what I'm with Jesus, man. He said for 70 times. That's not what he meant. He just meant you can have 70 conversations about it. That's what he meant. What step do you need to take? I'll tell you something very obvious. You got to put yourself in the right places. Because you got to stay in tune. Just like I showed you with the guitar. You need the right people to help you stay tuned. If you started cutting out church things, you need to retune that in your life. I'm not trying to commercialize the church. I'm just telling you this is God's way of doing it. It's like if a doctor tells you this is the diet you need, this is the exercise you need to follow it if you're going to be on the path to health. Spiritual health requires a prescription. It requires some steps. And for us to think that without God's word, without praying, without spending time with Him, without time in the house of God, without serving, that we're going to become everything that God wants us to be, we're wrong. I didn't say you were wrong, I said we're wrong, because it's a mindset we develop in general. When we're stressed and we start cutting things out because I'm so stressed, when we start cutting it out, we're cutting out the very things that God put in our life to grow us. There are other things that are stressing us out. Most of the time, it's wrong thinking that is messing with us so much. It's just colliding with the right thing. But this is where the conviction has to win. And this is where our growth, this is where the courses that God has been laying has to sustain us through all of these things. There are folks in here today, you just never pulled the trigger on completely getting involved in the church here. And today we're going to have this next steps fast track. It's going to last about an hour and a half. I mean, we're squeezing this baby down. And we're trying to make it convenient for you. That's what we're trying to do. But this is a step you need to take because it's necessary for you to grow and become who God wants you to be. These are the things, guys, that we have to get a handle on, that God wants to grow you. We don't just go to it, we grow to it. Can we also celebrate some things that we've already walked through and that we made it through? Some of you, you've walked through some divorce in your life, and you could be a very, very bitter person right now, but you know it was the hand of God that helped you. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you, you've had some family troubles. Maybe you had a dad that was just abusive and whatnot. Maybe you had some issues with a sibling or something. And you should be just crazy right now. You should be doing things that are off the wall. But you made it through there. You pressed in. You got close to God. And look at you now. Your whole attitude is different. If it wasn't for Jesus. Come on, somebody. And you grew through it. You didn't have a good father figure, but you learned some things from it. And now your kids look at you and they're like, Dad, you got it going on. You're a cool dad. You know what you're doing. And you're like, I didn't know I could do this. I didn't have a good dad. Stress made you better. If you're walking through something stressful right now, you're either going to see it as opposition or opportunity. And can I tell you today, this is your opportunity. Come on, I feel the Holy Spirit saying this. This is your opportunity. I know it's tough, but you got something in you that is greater than this thing that is coming against you. And we can just stay in tune, baby. We are going to rock this thing.